Today's title is Building Together. To give us a little bit of background as to where we are now when we read Exodus 35, when we get to Exodus 19, it's the first day of the third month since the Israelites left Egypt. We know that God delivers the Israelites. He hears their prayer and their cry. Exodus 2 tells us, verse 23, that Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Their cries for relief from their hard labor ascended to God. God listened to their groanings. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw what was going on with Israel. Verse 25, God understood. And interestingly, this part here, at the end of Exodus 2, this is directly before the burning bush, before God speaks to Moses, and he says, "The Israelite cry for help has come to me, and I've seen for myself how cruelly they're being treated by the Egyptians. It's time for you to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt." And we read how God works through Moses and Aaron, and there is an action from them that is needed. And in all these things, God works through his people. He needs his people to respond to the call, and we've been talking about this in recent weeks. We can pray as much as we want about things, but let's also be willing to take action, to listen to what God asks us to do when he speaks through his word, and to work with the Holy Spirit to bring about positive change. And as we pray for Ukraine, Russia, and peace in Europe, we've been praying about this prior to the meeting this morning. Let's also pray about and consider what actions we can take, or if there is any way that we can help practically. Some of us may want to donate. There's a link on the World Vision website where you can do that. Some of us may not have any money to donate. We might be struggling ourselves, but we can all show kindness and consideration to those around us. For many, this is a very worrying time, and we can be a people who look after each other. And if we know or work with someone who has family who are affected by the current situation, or who has been separated from their loved ones, we can pray and reach out, contact them, see is there anything that we can do, that we can need. Let them know that we're praying for them and ask what the best way is that we can support them. And we can pray, we're praying this morning that, you know, those humanitarian aid supplies will reach the people who need it. So God helps, but we know that action from humans is often needed. God has done great things for the Israelites that we read about. They defeat the Amalekites. That's where Aaron and Hur hold Moses' hands up, and we looked at that during the pandemic. And things are happening, developing. Jethro gives Moses some helpful, practical, logical advice, which Moses listens to, and he's delegated, choosing capable men from Israel and making them leaders of the people. In Exodus 19, the Israelites get to the desert of Sinai, and Exodus 20, as the people are assembled at the foot of Mount Sinai, God speaks to Israel as a whole, giving the Ten Commandments as Moses is stood there among the people at the foot of the mount. So Israel first heard these commands, understandable to everyone, spoken by God, which of course would have made the strongest impression upon the people. And interestingly, the people want Moses to pass on what God is saying, and they say to Moses, "You speak to us and we'll listen, but don't have God speak to us or we'll die." And they keep their distance while Moses approaches the thick cloud where God was. And so Moses receives further instructions, laws basically to protect the people, for the people. And then we read in chapter 24, he passes on these laws to the people. They make a covenant with God. And then Moses then climbs the mountain, which he was on for almost 6 weeks. And God says this, Exodus 25, "Tell the Israelites that they are to set aside offerings for me. Receive the offerings from everyone who is willing to give. These are the offerings I want you to receive from them." And we heard them read out earlier by Bill. And he goes on to say, let them construct a sanctuary for me so that I can live among them. You are to construct it following the plans I've given you, the design for the dwelling and the design for all its furnishings. So the first thing that I want to highlight here is God saves. God says, receive offerings from everyone who is willing to give. These are the offerings I want you to receive from them. Note that God does not say, command all the people they must give X amount, or these people will give this and these people will give that. And there's also no manipulation of Moses, no instruction to Moses to manipulate either. This is just a straightforward instruction. Tell the Israelites to set aside offerings, receive the offerings from everyone who is willing to give. So perhaps it matters to God that the people give because they want to give. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love this Message translation. A stingy planter gets a stingy crop, a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving.
Yeah.
God is not into forcing people to give to him. He wants us to have willing hearts. And it's okay for us to just take a little time and consider how we want to give and what God is saying to us about that. Don't allow anyone to pressure you into giving something. Remember that there are con people out there. So God says, let them construct a sanctuary for me. And the tabernacle, this was the dwelling place of God. The idea was not that God exclusively lived in this place, but it was the specific place where men could come and meet with God. And Moses does exactly as God asks. He's obedient again. Exodus 35, he tells the entire Israelite community that this is what the Lord has commanded. We're going to take up an offering. Let everyone whose heart is willing bring this as the Lord's offering. And he goes on to list the items. This is clear and transparent. The people know exactly what they can give, and they know the purpose that it's being used for. This is all for the tabernacle. And that's always a good thing when you're giving materially or financially to something. Verse 10 to 19, Moses says, come all of you who have skills, come and make everything that God has commanded. And he lists the things. So everyone in the community of Israel left the presence of Moses. Then they came back, everyone whose heart was roused, whose spirit was freely responsive, bringing offerings to God for building the tent of meeting, furnishing it for worship and making the holy vestments. They came, both men and women, all the willing spirits among them, and they gave their offerings. And just a couple of things that I want to highlight. The first thing is that the people simply bring the things that they have. So when it's all put together, there's everything needed. And sometimes you might think, well, I'm not really sure what I have. But you know, we heard earlier about surrendering to God. And I just want to encourage us, let's just surrender everything that we are, everything that we have, just give to God for him to use as he wills. And as we all do that together, we can achieve amazing things. And I'm gonna talk more about that later. So all the women skilled at weaving brought their weavings of blue and purple and scarlet fabrics and their fine linens. And all the women who were gifted in spinning spun the goat's hair. And in verse 30, when Moses talks about Bezalel and Oholiab, he says, God has selected Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He's filled with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and know-how for making all sorts of things. And he goes on to say, they can make anything and design anything when he's talking about Bezalel and Oholiab. So perhaps there is something here about actually acknowledging that there are different functions or roles that we can all play. And sometimes we may need to recognize when people are particularly skilled in one area and we are not, that perhaps we need to let those people do what they're really good at, and we can focus on what we are good at or what we can do. And this is how we're better together in many ways, because we all bring those different skills together. We all fulfill these different functions or roles that, when brought together, can achieve amazing things. And Bezalel, we know, was really good at what he did, and he could train others to be good too. It's mentioned that Bezalel and Aholiab have the ability to teach others. And this made me think of two things, really, how we can learn from those who are more skilled than us at something. We can always learn from someone who is really good at what they do. And that's a good thing for us to do. But also how actually some of us who are maybe really skilled at a particular area or a particular thing can also encourage and build others up and help them with the skills that we know as well. We can all help each other. It's good to find mentors who can teach us new skills or to improve and develop the skills that we have. And some of us may perhaps want to consider how we can train others up in the things that we're good at as we work to extend the kingdom together. So verse 36, Bezalel and Aholiab, along with everyone, chapter 36, Bezalel and Aholiab, along with everyone whom God has given the skill and know-how for making everything involved in the worship of the sanctuary as commanded by God, are to start work. And we see they start work skillfully with their hands, and the people keep on bringing the offerings morning after morning. All the artisans who were at work making everything involved in constructing the sanctuary came one after another to Moses saying, "The people are bringing more than enough doing this work that God has commanded us to do." And Moses has to send orders to say no more offers for the building of the sanctuary. What a lovely problem to have. And may we also be a generous people that want to give towards extending the kingdom. So the people were ordered to stop at bringing offerings. There was more than enough. And there are some particular points that I'd like to highlight from chapters 35 to 39. And you might think, well, actually, Libby, I find them really boring because it's just, you know, telling us what the builders did or how they built. But there are things that we can learn from every part of the Bible. And these are a few things that I think that we can look at today. The first one is that the craftsman's skills, Bezalel's or Aholiab's expertise, it was focused on doing what God had asked them to do, on building the tabernacle. So quite simply, let's use our skills that God has given us to do what he has asked us to do. They were focused on their mission and doing the work that they had been called to do by God. So where are our skills or gifts or talents focused? Are we even using them? And for what purpose are we using them? Are our skills and perhaps our expertise focused on doing what God has asked us to do? And perhaps we need to take some time to ask God for direction and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to focus on this week, this month, however long it may be? You know, where should I be investing my time, my talents, my skills? And we may not always have money to give, as I've mentioned, but there is our abilities, our time, the skills we may have developed, and the gifts that God has given us. Perhaps we may need to just do an assessment and ask ourselves, are there any changes that we need to make? Do we need to perhaps change what we're spending our time on with the skills that we have? And what are we building together?
The kingdom.
Yes, the kingdom. We're building what God has instructed us to build now, his church. We're called to help bring about the extension of his kingdom, of the body of believers. And he has called us to use our skills, our talents, our time to extend his kingdom. He's called us to be salt and light, as we discussed the other week. 1 Peter 2 says, present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life. When the church follows God's design, the church is a community of hope, a place where God is known. We are helping to bring people into a relationship with Jesus. And we're all called, each one of us, to help build this community of hope, this community in which God's presence is evident, where people meet with him. And the next point I want to make is that, interestingly, we don't read of any arguments between the craftsmen about the design. There's no sort of major creative disputes, and we don't see them challenging the Lord's instructions. And we might discuss how things should be done sometimes, and there's always something healthy about being able to discuss different ways of doing things. However, let's not end up in arguments or disputes where we actually destroy the bit of building that we're doing because we've just got caught up in an argument. Perhaps we can cause delays in the building process when we fight with each other. How many of you know that bickering holds us back? Let's prevent ourselves from causing delays by getting too lost in arguments over how things should be done stylistically. We don't read any of them saying, well, I'm not going to do it this way because that's not my style, or I'd prefer it if it was this way. We live in a world where there is not time for us to bicker. Let's not waste time bickering. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. The next point, we don't hear of any arguments between them about which roles they should have in the construction process. The craftsmen just get on with the job, doing exactly as they had been instructed to do by God through Moses. Let's not argue about our titles, our roles, what credit we may receive, because we all know that those things are not what really matters in the end. Let's just do what it is that we can do with what we have for Jesus. Let's focus on us doing a good job. You know, if someone else gets more recognised, or there are politics that are going on that can sometimes be distracting, let's not allow that to stop us from doing what God has asked us to do. Let's focus on what God has asked us to do and do that really well, and focus on doing what God has asked us to do really well. We need to listen to what God says and get on with the job that he has given us. When we all invest our talents together, beautiful things can come out of it. You don't have to be a Christ follower to see that. Paul talks about us being one body with many parts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 to 31. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organisers, those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic, undimensional part. It's not all apostle, not all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts. May we not be people that compete for so-called important parts, but recognize what God has asked of us and stay focused on doing what God has asked us to do, on being fully surrendered to him, on being obedient to what God has asked of us. The craftsmen, they work together as a team. We work together as a team. Do we work together as a team? I hope so. As Christians building together, We must work together as a team to produce the best results. God has called us to build together. Whatever our gifts, our skills, our abilities may be, we are called to serve. And God asks us all to serve the church or the body of believers and to be a part of growing it. Some of the people gave their gifts to build. Some of the people made something physically, used their skills or talents. Everyone had a role to play in this situation that we read. Now, as a church, we've been praying about our meeting place, as you know, and as we consider moving forward in the coming weeks and months and that COVID restrictions have gone, now is perhaps the time where those that want to do so can think about the various teams that you can join in church if you are wanting to serve in this church on one of the teams. We have the welcome team. We have the tech team, those who do the words, the projector, the sound. We have kids church. We have the music team. They did really well today, didn't they?
Yeah.
We have men's night. We have people that serve teas and coffees. We have our prayer meetings. We have halves, go gospel, all these things in which we can get involved and make a contribution. And maybe perhaps there's something that I've not listed there and you think I'm really good at this thing and I'd really like to do this thing, then please come and talk to me or to Pastor Steve about it so we can keep building together and achieve all we can together for the kingdom. And that leads on to my next point, that it's about what we achieve together. Now, the craftsmen or all the people's names or even all their particular roles or titles in themselves were not of particular importance. We don't read all of those. But what they achieved together was. So I want to encourage you this afternoon, if you're feeling a bit unappreciated, keep going. And if you feel like you don't have enough encouragement, come speak to me because I'll encourage you. But keep on going. Colossians 3:23. Some of us may need to just stick that up on our door, just remind ourselves. 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, people may not know our names, they may not know exactly what we do or what it is that we've done. We may never receive any kind of recognition for what we do or how we serve, but the things that we achieve together for God's kingdom will last forever.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
God sees what we do, and he also sees all our mistakes and flaws, and he's very gracious. The craftsmen, they obeyed the commands of the Lord without neglecting the specifics. And this is a reminder to us to do what God has asked us to do without neglecting the detail, without neglecting the specifics. They didn't think, well, we'll just leave this bit, or we've got a little bit tired now, so we'll skip that part, or we'll just, skip those instructions, or that bit doesn't matter so much. They paid attention to the instructions and did not neglect any detail. They took God's instructions seriously and followed them to the letter. They followed his specific instructions. And the challenge to us today is, will we also do that? Will we be fully obedient, not neglecting the specifics of the instructions that God has given us? And sometimes the Holy Spirit can speak to us quite specifically about things. I remember a personal experience that I had when I was working away from home and I needed a keyboard. I had no access really to a keyboard at that time. I thought I could really do with a keyboard, Lord. And somebody came up to me and they gave me the exact amount of money that I needed for this keyboard for me to use. And that blessed me so much. It really encouraged me, but I wondered, what would have happened if that person didn't listen? They said to me, God's told me to give you this, you know, specific amount. And that was such a blessing to me. But I thought, I wonder if that person had not have listened, if I had not would not have received that blessing, or maybe I'd have had to wait a little longer. And you know, when we do what God asks us to do specifically, we can be a huge blessing to others. And you know, perhaps some of us, God may say, I want you to go spend an hour with this person. And we might want to say, well, actually, I'm just going to spend 15 minutes with them. I'm just going to have a super quick half hour chat. But let's really listen to the details of what God gives us to do and not ignore it. Let's not neglect the specifics. And God can speak to us in our interactions with people. We see this in Acts chapter 8 with Philip and the Ethiopian. And each step of the way, Philip is given guidance bit by bit. The angel says, get up and go. And Philip follows his instructions or guidance without knowing quite what is ahead. So it's good and it's important that we listen to what God is saying and we don't neglect the detail. And you may think, well, I don't really see what difference I can make. Well, just go back to the ACT Church website, actchurch.co.uk, and Google Salt and Light, because we've just spoken all about that. And you are chosen, you are called to be salt and light in this world and to be a part of extending his kingdom. 1 Peter 2, 9-10, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him. You and I were called to build together, and I'm really excited about the coming weeks and months for us as a church. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we do know that we serve a good God, a God who is always there for us, always caring for us. So what could God do as we build together? What may he do over the coming weeks and months? Let's be expectant and be willing to work together as one body to see the extension of his kingdom in this city and beyond. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you value each and every one of us. Thank you that each and every one of us can make an impact for you. Thank you that we can achieve together great things for your kingdom. So we say to you today that we are fully surrendered. Use us how you will, Lord. Help us to work together as a team, trusting you over these coming weeks and months. In Jesus' name, amen.